But let us take a thing like the protection of historic monuments, which looms large in the minds of some people and some countries and some governments as an appropriate function for UNESCO. Is the protection of historic monuments of any very real importance to furthering international understanding and the prospects for peace? Well, the argument is yes. The argument is that this is part of the cultural heritage of the world. It is therefore, as you build a world community, a part of the heritage of this one world, that if you then provide means whereby people can go see the historic monuments of the world in different parts of the world, or perhaps make them available to pictures, photographs, motion pictures, or otherwise, you tend to build a greater appreciation of one people for another, and combined together, you get a greater understanding and a greater sense of a world community. Someone else has said that the most important thing for UNESCO to do, or an important thing for UNESCO to do, is to concentrate on the world's music and to get more and more composers to think of music that will somehow further international understanding, but much more importantly, to make sure that the various classics of the various cultures are available readily to the peoples of all other cultures and all other countries. And that is an important function for UNESCO. And another group says, but of course there are the visual arts, there are the great paintings of the world, which are today available only still to the elite, and it is of great importance if we are going to build real understanding that the beautiful paintings of a Masaccio should be available in excellent reproduction and in not too expensive a format, so that every museum around the world can have a volume, so that everybody can go and look at them. There are others who say that that the field of philosophy has much to contribute for UNESCO, perhaps more than anyone else, more than any other field, in that through an analysis of the various philosophies of the world, we may be able to find the area of common values among the various philosophies, and thereby better understand what is back in the minds of people as they are reaching forward to find a common base upon which to move forward from here on. Well, so I could go down through the various fields, if you like, which are touched by UNESCO in education, science, and culture, and I think I could give you a plausible argument, that is, the argument that is made by the specialists in the various fields for maintaining their particular part of the program in the total program of UNESCO. Yet I wonder, in spite of the fact that I'm impressed occasionally by some of these arguments, in spite of the fact that I happen to like art collections and music, I ask myself how many of these things are really moving us forward at a rate rapidly enough so that there is some prospect that we will have achieved a greater degree of peace and security in our time. Bearing in mind the time is running out and we only have, at the present time, $8 million, which isn't very much, to carry on a program on a worldwide scale. Therefore, it seems to me that one of the ways in which the social scientists might contribute to the work of UNESCO is to make an examination of the probable effect, followed then by an evaluation of the actual effect of a series of these programs which UNESCO has undertaken for the purpose of ascertaining whether they really are carrying us forward to the objective. That assumes, of course, that the organization and all the member states agree that the objective is a single one and not a whole series of objectives. Now, as one who has worked for many years in this international field, I must immediately point out that the view which I hold, in spite of my effort to represent and to understand the point of view of our now 50 member states, I know that my point of view is a point of view that is born not only of, not merely of my own experience, but it is an American-based concept. And there are many parts of the world in which people do not feel that the conscious development of civic programs to influence public policy in a given direction is an appropriate function of a governmental or an intergovernmental body. We talk a lot in this country, a great deal, about civic organizations. Have you met your civic responsibility today? Have you voted? What organization do you belong to? What are you working on? Will you join up with such and such a club in order to have this effect, which is going to be a betterment of community life or of the national life? This is quite outside the field of politics, in which everyone is working anyway. But there are many countries in the world, in Britain, for example, where you don't talk about things like that. You don't talk about organizing people for civic action. Either you get it or you don't have it. There are other countries, like France today, in which, aside from purely political objectives, there is no real consciousness of the importance of having positive civic participation programs. And the Scandinavian countries, they've gone so far in the development of civic programs and in the development of democratic organization and democratic government that they again don't believe that this is a matter with which UNESCO needs to concern itself very much. But if you go out to the Middle East, if you go into Latin America, if you go to the Far East, where there are millions upon millions of people who have been less fortunately situated in terms of having opportunity for an education, there are therefore millions and millions and millions of people who are not even at the stage yet at which you can appeal to a civic interest, where the elementary thing that's required is to help them learn to read and to write. That doesn't mean that every other country in the world doesn't also have its illiterate population, but I mean in terms of proportions. Now, under these circumstances, I emphasize it only for this reason, under these circumstances, it's understandable that an organization like UNESCO, which covers such a wide range of subject matter and has such a very precise and important goal and contribution to make in the peace area, should have great difficulty in getting a consensus in concerning the development of its own program and the direction that program shall take. And it's no use saying that you and I think it ought to go this direction if the people you're talking to don't even understand the rationale on the basis of which we are doing our thinking and our picking and our choosing. Now, not only in the development of these programs, therefore, have the social sciences got a job to do, a tremendously important one, but also in the execution of some of UNESCO's programs. Let me take one or two only by way of illustration. One of UNESCO's most important programs is the helping in the development of literacy campaigns, literacy programs in the member states. These are anti-illiteracy campaigns. It's a very difficult task, suddenly, to propose to the people of a country that they shall participate in a program for learning to read and write. And it's particularly difficult when, as is always necessary, such a program is related to such things as health education or agricultural education or, in some cases, even civic education. It means introducing into a country, into its daily life, concepts which have not yet been accepted, and inevitably the introduction of a larger degree of literacy and reduction of the illiteracy means a change in the balance of power, of social power, among the members of that population. It's extreme, and therefore an extremely dangerous thing. Dangerous in the sense that affects the balance that exists within the country. Now here, the anthropologists can be of tremendous value. The anthropologists who have, especially the cultural anthropologists, who have studied at length the different types of cultures, the different types of societies, what holds them together, what makes them tick, and to give guidance as to the ways in which one can best move in these literacy campaigns, these literacy programs, without completely upsetting the existing social structure. The same thing is going to be true when it comes to the technical assistance program. The technical assistance program that's going to be under the United Nations, that owes its inspiration to Truman's point four of Truman's inaugural speech, the program for economic development of underdeveloped countries. Suddenly, to bring into an economically underdeveloped, that is, a differently economically developed country, a system of intensified economic development must inevitably shock the existing social structure and must and will create chaos unless safeguards are provided which make the transition a gradual one, make it possible for the introduction of new methods of production with corresponding educational programs so that the people can understand what's going on, and also so that, again, the existing balance of power, whether it's the role of the mother in the society or the role of the father or the role of the children, is not completely upset. Here again, the anthropologist can make a great contribution. UNESCO is itself engaging in this program and is developing a series of educational programs which will go along with the introduction of economic development programs. As you may know, I might mention parenthetically, this whole concept of technical assistance is being undertaken on an interagency basis, with the United Nations provided being the spearhead, the World Health Organization with its contribution, Food and Agriculture with its contribution, UNESCO with its contribution, the International Labor Organization with its. Let me take one other illustration, then pass on from this point. In the field of the re-education, or the education, if you like, of the people of the three countries that were the aggressors and that precipitated the last world war, there is a tremendous task still to be performed. We don't still know enough about the origins of fascism, and more importantly, perhaps, we know much too little about what needs to be done in dealing with populations which have gone through a period of association with what they considered the glories of fascism, followed by complete and absolute defeat. That is, to promote an attitude of international understanding among people who've been through this kind of a social shock is quite a different task from promoting an international understanding program in a country like France or the United Kingdom or the United States, or one that has had a deep tradition of democracy. I've spoken now about the assistance which the social scientists can provide in the development of programs. Secondly, in the evaluation of programs. Thirdly, in the execution of the programs of the organization. Let me call attention here, if I may, not too overtly, but quite sincerely, to the extremely important volume that has just come out, or is soon to come out, under the imprint of the University of Illinois Press, on the subject of tensions in international relations. That is not the precise title, but it's almost. It's near enough to identify it, I believe. This is a volume that is based upon a series of conferences held at UNESCO about a year and a half ago, a series of conferences attended by outstanding social scientists, social psychologists, from Great Britain, France, one of the Scandinavian countries, I'm not sure at the moment whether it was Norway or Denmark, from Hungary, from Brazil. There were eight of them altogether. And what they were there for was to see what were the causes of tensions and what could be done about these tensions. And the book, which has now appeared, is based upon the discussions which took place there, and the book sets forth in a series of essays the points of completely divergent points of view of these social scientists who were groping for the answer for a common problem. Now, here is one of the most important roles that the social scientists can perform in assisting UNESCO to move forward in its program. Because if social scientists around the world can, in fact, identify tensions, the causes of these tensions, and ways whereby to mobilize the energy that is now going into aggressive action, at least aggressive action that might lead to war, to rechannel that into, again, it may be aggressive action for cooperation, or to relieve the tension completely, they will have assisted UNESCO materially because through its educational program then, UNESCO will be able to call attention to the way in which these potential causes of war may be materially reduced. Now, all of this assumes properly that there must be research going on. I cannot personally think of a more important field of research now than this field of the social sciences. Millions, hundreds of millions of dollars are continually being expended around the world today to perfect better and better and more certain instruments of destruction. Pennies are being spent on social science research, that is, comparatively speaking. And if an organization like UNESCO could have the assistance of social scientists, its own work would be made far more effective. If, on the other hand, UNESCO can itself stimulate the development